Well, hey.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to the North Florida Sports Network. What an ass-kicking FSU baseball put on the Gators last night. 19-4. 19-4.
Right.
In a seven-inning ball game. Mercy ruled for the second time this season. That is something that the Noles haven't done in over 20 years. I know I hate this series where they play it on Tuesdays, but...
Right, should be a weekend series, right, but
getting beat cares, 19-4.
The, yeah. Well, just, you know, you score 12 runs the first game you play them, 14 the second game. Mercy ruled them in the second game, 19 in the third game. It's just an ass-whooping all season.
Yep. The lineup just continues to impress.
Right. I'm going to be honest with you. I would put UF below Stetson and Jacksonville in terms of what they've shown midweek. They have no interest in playing Florida State.
Right. That's why I don't like the series. They just right. play.
Me, they look like
in
a team.
Beginning of the season, one series or something.
I said it last night. They look like a baseball team that despises having to play for their coach. They just don't want to be out there.
Yeah.
Like, everybody who's played baseball has had a season like that where they hated their coach. Or not even hated, but just it sucked.
Well, there's a good atmosphere around the FSU baseball team. You can feel it.
Oh, yeah. Last night was insane for a baseball game.
And you had the band there. I mean, it was it felt like a football game at times. But I was wondering how that team would react to it, you know, especially coming off a place like Boston where you didn't have an atmosphere. You know, sometimes you saw the basketball team this season when right. people showed up, didn't come out, you know, and they gave up two runs in the top of the first, but
that was nothing.
That didn't happen. That was no problem, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gators couldn't get them out. The whole lineup went through unscathed.
Right.
And it was incredible.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Really. In terms of playing against
West
a team
his
that
first career homer.
Right. I mean, his first homer as a Nole. Yeah. He was all over it, dude.
Right.
I was crushed.
It was, and then it got to the point where it's 13-3. I'm at the game and I was like, you know, I got, if he hits a base or loaded, who was that hit that?
Dinges.
Yeah, just hit it.
Marco. That guy probably got the most power on the team.
Yeah, got a standing ovation after.
I mean, that's what he does. He goes up there like he's playing fast pitch softball or, you know, adult league softball.
That made it 17-3. That was the end of the night.
Yeah.
But an impressive, they came out like a football game almost and just beat the crap out of the other team.
Right. They definitely fed off of
some good innings by
the start.
The pitcher Armstrong, the lefty.
Armstrong looked good. The pitchers looked fine. You
right.
give up a couple bombs early. I mean, Caglione shouldn't be playing college
you don't
baseball.
Wanna, yeah, that guy's a monster, man. Yeah. That guy's a monster. He hits it high in the sky. That's
right.
Gonna...
So, I mean, he hit a home run against him last game. He's going to do stuff like that, but you don't walk people. You don't give free passes, man, and
right.
then you'll be able to stay alive.
The lineup that you have, you just keep got to throw strikes. Don't give them anything free.
Yeah.
Make them earn it and put them up against your lineup.
But that was that game, you know, by the end of the second inning, that game was over.
There seems to be a good morale on the team right now.
Yeah.
And Link Jarrett is what everyone thought you would get is what you're starting to see. The guy who's won National Coach of the Year twice before even taking over.
Right. And I think a lot of people just kind of overlooked or underestimated just what kind of impact it had him coming in late before last season.
Right. You can feel it.
Yeah.
The morale of the team.
You couldn't turn the roster over the way that you did in this past offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing 26 new. And that,
right.
that's the difference.
Yeah.
Are the guys that you added to the lineup.
Right.
It. Yeah, man.
It was impressive. But... You know, I only play this, I only get to, give me my music for, you know what time it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It's that time again.
It's going to, a little golf tournament up in Augusta, Georgia. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Masters. A guy named Bobby Jones.
His dad.
Yeah, Bobby Jones started this tournament. Yeah. With all the best players.
All the best players for a long time.
It's kind of crazy, you know. This is a guy who was at the top of his game, retired to be a lawyer. Oh, how the times have changed. But, you know, I guess it doesn't, they try to keep the timeless aspect of it. And it does. Like, there's certain things that you just don't understand, like the squirrels and the pine cones. It's a beautiful, majestic place. And I'm going to be captivated again this weekend. And I can't wait to see it. Kind of can forget about this live PGA thing that's going on. It's the only time you're really going to get all the players to play. Is that like you only get four times, really?
Yeah, it's the
and this is the one big one. And this is
it's
Rory McIlroy's donut hole and the career slam. Will he be pegged by the ghosts at the 10th hole?
I just want to see Tiger.
Tiger Woods, no sex until after the tournament. Will that be on Sunday? Will that be on Saturday? Or will that be on Friday if he doesn't make the cut?
Right.
You
better know he's banging whenever he's out of there. That's good to know. I just hope that maybe he can take it until Sunday, you know?
Who's going to be, you know, obviously you have Scottie Scheffler, who's the favorite. The guy who jump hits the ball. He's incredible. Simple-minded, big, talented golfer. But it's hard to come in there as a favorite and win. It's hard to do that in golf. John Rahm will be trying to defend his title. Victor Hovland, Wyndham Clark are among others, as well as Brooks Koepka from LIV Tour, as well as Brian Harman, Cameron Smith, Cameron Young. Watch out for Ludvig Åberg, Jimmy.
Okay. I like Åberg. The name.
Yeah, man. Then you got Matt Fitzpatrick.
Matt Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, he's still on the Max Homa, Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood. One of those guys.
What about Pat Fitzpatrick? Is he in it too?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I got 18 under being the winning score.
Okay.
And
all of my hope for Tiger Woods, you know, all to win it and everything like that, I have the anti of that for John Rahm. I don't know what you call that, but like that's my, I just, yeah. As long as he doesn't win, I'm happy.
Well, yeah, we'll find out. I'll be glued to it. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is the favorite.
Right.
And we'll see, but.
Well, Scottie's.
There's Scottie's a handful. Of, yeah. We'll see if anybody can take him down. It keeps an even keel, though. But we gave you the top five offensive newcomers that were Jimmy Reno's looking for.
All right. We switching the ball now. Okay. Yeah,
so we're going to go to the other side. Defense. Top five defensive newcomers that weren't on the team last year that are going to be on the team this year. Disclaimer, we're not counting the damn Orange Bowl, okay?
We're not counting it. What Orange Bowl?
Exactly.
That was practice.
All right.
That wasn't a game.
Right. All right.
All right, well, number five, I am going to start with the linebacker, Sean Murphy, transfer from Alabama.
Oh, man, this is a guy I was real excited about.
Yeah.
Just because you can see the size he had.
Right, and he's
in a position that we needed.
Dude, you say linebacker from Alabama, and you're like, okay, he's highly rated, obviously, coming out of high school because he went to Alabama. I mean, he's big physical kid, can move well. We need somebody to go along with Nicholson and Lundy.
Right.
I'm excited to see what he can actually do out there. I'm hopeful. I know that Cryer, you got Jonathan Juice Cryer as well. So three or four linebackers solidify themselves as actually being able to depend on them, and that could be huge for this defense.
Again, this list is for top five players. Jimmy Reno is excited to see this upcoming season as of today.
Just little Jimmy.
That's exciting me, right?
Yeah.
But it gets you an idea of what to look for.
Right.
You know, what to be excited about, because there's going to be a lot of new faces on this team. Number five. You did it.
Yeah, that's number five. Number four, I'm going to go with the true freshman defensive back, Charles Lester III.
Man. Heard a lot about this guy through the recruiting ranks.
He was a highly rated, highly touted guy.
Gave, that's another number four here, another true freshman in right. number four. You went true right. freshman.
Well, because I think he's going to be getting out there. You know, I think and there was some mixed reviews, man. It, you know, coming out of high school, it's like, well, you know, he's good at this. He's not so great at that, but he's been step for step with some of the older class or the upperclassmen. I'm excited to see if his ranking is legit, if he can really go out there and be one of those first year guys.
Yeah.
You know, he got compared to Travis Hunter a lot in terms of so the same kind of immediate impact type of deal. So I want to see if it's legit. Right.
And if it's legit, he'll be playing and you'll get to see it.
Right.
So that's
right. And that's, you know, I got him at number four.
All right.
Now, really, the top three are my most, to me, are the guys that I'm most excited about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that I really think have a great chance of making big impacts.
Yeah, that are season hinges kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Number three is going to be Marvin Jones Jr.
Number three here.
Number three.
Wow.
And the reason is because, if he can add, nobody expects him to come in and be Jared Verse. You know, nobody's going to, I don't think. There's another player that can come in and do that right now. But if he can come in and add something, you get kind of like a combo of Patrick Payton and Jared Verse. You know, a guy that's explosive with a little more size than Payton, opposite Payton, but with the same kind of bend and the length, that can be very disruptive. I think he's – and you know,
well, I'm excited because you're going to get hopefully a better version of Payton, which is going to make it harder to block both sides.
Right. And he's bulked up, so he's looking to stay on the field, three downs.
Highly touted recruit.
Oh, of course.
That's time to put up numbers here. He's seen that.
Yeah, and he's been in a big-time program. You know, he spent a year at Georgia, 2 years.
So that's two already from the SEC.
Right. And the fact that he's Baby Shade, is that also plays a part into it as well.
That's why I thought he would be higher on the list, honestly. But it's still, I mean, when you think about, there are a lot of dudes. You haven't even listed any of the other transfers that they picked up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, it's the defense starts with replacing that ugliness on the interior, that disruptiveness, those monsters, Fiske, you know, Fabian Lovett, Dennis Briggs, all the guys that were out there and disruptive.
Right.
So
you get one back, you're getting Farmer back.
Yeah, you're getting Farmer back, but we had Farmer last year, so that was huge. He's got the experience coming back. But as far as newcomers go, the top two are going to be along that defensive line.
Ooh.
I'm number six would be the guy we got from West Virginia.
And he's
Toshi. He's a defensive lineman as well.
That's number two?
No, number two is going to be Big Toko from Oregon State.
Wow.
Yeah. DN, D tackle, hybrid kind of guy. I think they're looking for him to kind of replace some of that anger and meanness from Fiske. But he's also experienced, man. He's an upperclassman. He's in his final year. He's going to bring that seniority.
I like it.
The workmanship, and he provides you, you know, if you want to set the edge with your end, he can do that.
You know,
if you want to play a three-man front, he can be out there on that end. He can also slide inside when you got to rest bodies in there. This guy could be a huge piece on the D-line. Really excited to see how he fits and picks up things.
Another position where you can slide in and get these transfers.
Yeah, and
Florida State's already built a reputation of doing.
If they can just reload at that D-line position from last year. I mean, you remember 2012 to 2013, like that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to replace Bjorn Werner and Tank Carradine? National title next year. You know, it leads into the number one, which is Big Daryl Jackson.
Oh, yeah. And he played in the bowl game.
That's why we put that disclaimer out there. But that was,
The big man's finally going to get a chance to play.
Chance to be on the field. He should have been playing last year. And from all reports, he's just a monster on the inside.
He's a guy that,
You know, he's here. He's, you know, basically brothers with Josh Farmer. They're finally going to get to play together.
That's exciting.
You assume that's going
to
happen.
That's exciting to see right there. And I can see that angle because you're going to have them playing together, a dream that they had, you know, and see if they can maximize their both their potential. It's only going to help the other guys along that.
Yeah, this is it. This is their last year in college. You know, both of them, this is it. They're going to try to do this, maximize, and head to the league together. But he's also that physical presence that, Like, man, we didn't have that last year, dude. If we would have had him the entire season, adding that size and that disruptiveness. I know.
We know that this team couldn't have done anything without Jordan Travis.
Yeah, I know. I forgot. How stupid of me.
Jordan Travis is getting back to it. There's a draft coming up, by the way.
Yeah, there is.
But there's so much.
Wasn't like 3 months?
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's right around preseason.
End of April?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, Daryl Jackson by far.
Well, there you go, folks. There are your top five.
There's your top five. Most of them are on the D-line.
Jimmy Reno.
It's all about the big uglies.
The top five defensive newcomers to Florida State's lineup that Jimmy Reno's looking forward to.
Right.
Brought to you by.
I mean, I could have picked all of the DB signees, honestly. You know, all five of them. Brought to you by. Could be you.
John Cameron.
Sponsors? Could be you.
Can't pay for it.
Hey, we put a whiteout on a bee a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it lived. So how about that?
Well, Miami, Florida State, baseball.
Right, Florida State's
going to be down. Go ahead.
Down two weekend starters. Cam Leiter, second weekend in a row, he will not make a start. Connor Whitaker, not going to start. I didn't even know anything had popped up with Whitaker. Apparently, Link Jarrett sounds a little bit less optimistic with him. About the outlook. Pretty optimistic with Leiter. I think they're just making sure with him.
Right. Well, you know, from the start, what this team had, and they sure do have a lineup. It's really good. And
yeah, Miami can hit. They've struggled this year.
It's a rivalry game.
Yeah, Miami has some bats.
And if you're going to be missing, we'll see who can step up. Who's going to get the bump?
I think it's going to be another slugfest.
Who's getting the start? On Friday, then.
Thursday, it'll be Jamie Arnold.
Yeah, we knew that, but who's on Friday?
Friday will be freshman Brady Lauk.
All right.
Lefty. And then Saturday, I think it's going to be Carson Dorsey, the JUCO transfer.
Well.
He started last Sunday against Boston College. Did really well.
There you go.
Unfortunately, the bats didn't wake up until he was out of the game, but didn't pick up a win.
Shoot, man. I hope they didn't run out of ammunition because they were firing them
up. No, they look really, really locked happy in to be back down in the South.
Oh, the atmosphere is up. It's going to be another sellout all weekend.
Yeah,
going
to be nice.
It's a great atmosphere
nice
over there.
Warm out there for it.
It's kind of could be an even better place, you know, with a few adjustments.
Oh yeah, we were looking last night. There's plenty of areas to add seating.
But when you have fans buying in, you got the daggum band there. It's obviously going to help, and it did. We'll see what happens this weekend. We'll see what happens.
No, this is Canes, man. This is the big one in baseball.
All right. And we'll do that. We'll react to it. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the North Florida Sports Network.
We had to go. Our ride was here. We got a shuttle to our